and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Ahead of the tabling of Budget 2024, tomorrow, Friday the 13th of October, will we see the public healthcare sector be prioritised? Will the budget allocation for healthcare move towards the globally recommended standard of 5% of GDP, which will be a crucial step in reversing the repercussions of decades of underinvestment in this sector? Joining me on the show to discuss this further is Dr. Azizan Abdul Aziz. She's the president of the Malaysian Medical Association, MMA. Dr. Azizan, thank you for your time today. Now, given the ongoing health challenges that we have learned about, particularly during the pandemic years, what will be on MMA's wish list for Budget 2024 to strengthen the public healthcare system?
All right. Thank you, Melissa. Good evening. The main issues that MMA is seriously looking into is that more budget should be put to address the healthcare human resources, rural health services, and the non-communicable diseases, which is on the rise.
So can I just focus first on the overall amount of the budget allocation for the healthcare sector? I mentioned in my introduction that we're hoping to see it inch towards the 5% of GDP, but there's more to it. So not just how much is allocated for the healthcare sector, but for what? And I understand that the bulk of the healthcare allocation goes towards operating expenditure. Can you talk to me a little bit about why having a higher allocation for development expenditure is important for the healthcare sector?
Yes, definitely we are, as you mentioned, we should go nearer to the 5% of the GDP for the budget. But more importantly is it should be towards development. Development, we mean is human resources development. That means there should be more budget to take in more human resource, more staff, more healthcare workers. And then, of course, with that, you need increase in the remuneration for them also. You need training, specialization for this human resource so you get quality healthcare. So definitely we need to look into that more.
Okay, and I understand that the government is studying raising the salaries of civil servants. When it comes to the healthcare sector, what are MMA's expectations or desired outcomes with regards to wage increases for the public healthcare workers, Doctor?
For me, I think the government should give a higher allocation to the healthcare workers. You know, we could see how dedicated they were, especially during the epidemic, right? During the recent COVID epidemic, you know, everybody could see how committed and, you know, the time they were selfless in serving the nation. I think a substantial increase to the healthcare workers in the budget would be much appreciated.
What are your concerns if there isn't, so not just that there isn't an increase, but there's not an increase that is substantial in your words?
Well, of course, I really hope there will be an increase. So if there is, I don't really know what's the situation of the government, but I think they should give to the healthcare workers more than the other civil servants, because the nature of our job is really different, you know, is a health and death situation. So I hope there'll be a slightly further increase towards the healthcare workers, I would say. But so if there isn't, what can I say? An increase is better than nothing then. But definitely more would be. Yep.
Hoping the government takes that into consideration, the nature of the work of healthcare workers. You also mentioned one of the key expectations or hopes from MMA is for increasing services to rural areas. Can we talk a little bit about the current scope of healthcare infrastructure and services to rural areas and what you hope the desired allocations would improve?
All right. We have to develop the rural area services. First is the accessibility, especially in East Malaysia. I think the accessibility going into the rural area is one concern. You know, they can't even access. So if they can't access, how do you expect, you know, the people in the rural area to go? Even if, let's say, in the rural area, they don't have much facility. You don't talk about having a doctor in the rural area there. Okay, it might just be a healthcare worker there. But if they do need to access to get better healthcare, if there's no accessibility physically to come out to get the healthcare, I think they need to address that. First is accessibility to get the healthcare services. But of course, we want a doctor to be there. You see, everywhere it should be like universal health coverage. Everybody should have access to proper healthcare. You know what I mean? So I think we should even have doctors there in the rural areas, which I think the government should give incentives so that there'll be doctors that want to service the people there for their, yeah.
All right. So that's the focus on healthcare infrastructure and services in the rural areas. You highlighted at the start of our conversation the need to focus on non-communicable diseases. I think NCDs are emerging as the leading cause of death in Malaysia. Two-thirds of Malaysians have at least one NCD. Talk to me about the need to allocate money to address this, the preventative efforts and also the preparedness for response.
Right. We know the non-communicable diseases is actually, it starts everything from, you know, nutrition and healthy lifestyle. That is in the prevention of it. Everybody should have a balanced nutrition and be aware what are the portions. Like you have the healthy plate, which the MOH is talking about, which everybody should be aware about that, because it's the portions of the food and the type of the macronutrients you need to be, right? The protein, the carbohydrate and fats, you know? So people need to be educated on that. Their awareness, they're educated what is a healthy plate, okay? So that they'll know roughly what they need to take. And the healthy activities, the lifestyle, the 150 minutes a week, they say, of you doing, you know, some physical activity, brisk walking or whatever you can do in your work, you know, all that. And of course, refrain from smoking, excessive drinking, yeah, of alcohol, for those who are taking alcohol, yeah. So all that is the prevention, is basically on the nutrition and all that, adequate sleep, 7 to 8 hours of sleep, less of your screen time, more of the physical activity you cut down. So that in the prevention one. All right. So that means for children, I'm more concerned, you know, like, because the moms in the house, you know, they should be aware of this since they are the one preparing the meals, less of the fried food and all that in the prevention, and make sure you maintain a healthy weight, because all that are going to be risk factors for the NCDs. So the moms and all that will train their children how to choose the type of food. The education will start from home. They have to educate their children when they go to school, you know, what sort of food, what sort of portion they should be taking.
Yeah. Okay, so all the way from education and awareness, all the way to policies and interventions for NCDs. In the couple of minutes that we have left, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned smoking a bit earlier. And I do wonder, when we think about the allocation for a budget for the healthcare sector, taxes on vape and liquid nicotine and gel nicotine, was that meant to be funneled to the healthcare sector? What do we know about that, given that the GEG bill, the tabling of the GEG bill, the debate of the GEG bill has been postponed indefinitely? What do we know about where that money is going to, whether the healthcare sector is going to benefit from taxing vape?
Yeah, they call it the sin tax, isn't it? Yes, that was mentioned, if I'm not mistaken, is going to go towards the NCDs, the management of NCDs, because that is taking a lot of the healthcare budget, it being actually it's an epidemic, I would say. It's increasing all the time. It's very worrying. Definitely, if it's being taxed, it definitely should be channeled to addressing, to manage the NCDs. Yeah, of course, ongoing with the, I'm sure the MOH is also doing to create all this awareness, you know, advertising, all that. But everything, things starts from home. Everybody should take the responsibility, the accountability in this matter also, not just depend on the Ministry of Health.
Dr. Azizan, thank you so much for your time. Dr. Azizan Abdul Aziz from the Malaysian Medical Association. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this. We will be back with more. Stay tuned. Hi, welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Now, in the past few weeks in the lead up to Budget 2024, the government has been hinting at a strong focus on SMEs as a driving force for economic recovery. But what do SMEs need? What will the initiatives that will be announced in Budget 2024 tomorrow hit the mark, or will it miss it? Tonight, we're joined by Dato' William Ng, who is the chairperson of the SMEs Association of Malaysia, also known as Samantha. William, thank you so much for being on the show with me today. Before we get into what SMEs are hoping to see in Budget 2024, I'm wondering whether I can first get a sense from you as to the current landscape of SMEs. Have SMEs fully recovered from the challenging pandemic years? How do you think SMEs are faring now?
I think the situation for the SMEs today is very different from what it was during the pandemic. Obviously, in the pandemic, the main challenge that we faced were cash flow because businesses, they have to pay salaries, rent, and so on, despite not being allowed to open. But today, of course, you see that the whole economy is open. Most sectors are now back to where we were back in 2019. So the set of challenges are now quite different. For example, recently, Samantha did our mid-year survey with about 500 plus respondents among SMEs of various sectors and across different geographies within Malaysia. And the result is very clear that while a majority of the SMEs are reporting that sales has actually improved last year in 2022, the same SMEs are telling us that the amount of cash they have in reserve has gone down despite increased sales. What this means is, while we can see that there's recovery in terms of top line, we're seeing a strong margin crunch among the SMEs, meaning that there's low margin among the SMEs that we have surveyed. So this is, to me, the number one problem that we are facing as SMEs today. So it's no longer about the top line, it's about what do we do to ensure that our profit remain healthy. And I attribute this to a couple of problems. First of course, is our continued reliance on workers, on manpower, on cheap labor per se, and that has to change, because unless we do something about it, the cost of labor is going to continue going up. Malaysia is no longer a cheap labor destination. The cost of salary is going to keep going up. The cost of doing business is going to keep going up. The cost of raw material is going to keep going up, and all this thing will add pressure on SME general. So we absolutely need to do something about improving the profit margin by improving our productivity through automation, through digitalization, and of course, cutting down reliance on workers in general.
Right. So how are you hoping Budget 2024 will address some of the challenges that you've raised?
All right. So we have submitted our list of wishes to the Ministry of Finance and also through our various dialogues with the various ministries. And our comments has been very consistent that there are three things that the Budget 2024 need to address. First, what can we do to ensure that we foster independent SMEs? Number two, what can we do to upgrade our SMEs within the value chain so we no longer do low value, low end of the value chain, but to move up so that we have stronger margin moving forward? And of course, third and not least is actually to narrow the financing gap for competitive SMEs. So what we really want to do is to suggest to the government to say that we should continue transitioning SME assistance from previously direct grants to moving towards matching grants, low interest loans, financing guarantees, and so on, to ensure that whatever grant and assistance that the government provide, we reach as many SMEs as possible, so that we eliminate the issue of grant cronies or businesses that are set up just for the sole purpose of obtaining grant. So of course, in terms of moving SMEs up the value chain, really to put more focus on building the capacity and capability of SMEs to supply to international companies. For example, you know, we are saying that Tesla is coming in, but in reality, how many local SMEs will be supplying to Tesla, not only in Malaysia, but also internationally? And if there is, what are the value and volume of such supplies? So on top of making sure that every piece of inbound investment is tied to some local content and supply, I think we must also intensify business matching, supply chain financing, and so on to ensure that our SMEs are better integrated in the global supply chain. And which is why one of our recommendations to the Ministry of Finance really is to encourage SMEs to invest in R&D so that we can move up the value chain by giving matching grant of, say, up to 50,000 for any collaboration on R&D activities with higher education institutions to take patent and technology licensing, and of course, to also hire technical and subject experts. So these are some of the things that we really want the government to focus on. The other thing that we think is, if you have a bit of time, the other thing that we really hope that the government can consider is to help our SMEs to upgrade our packaging design. Again, through a matching grant for packaging and material marketing design. And at the same time, this should support our creative and gig economy as well.
Okay, so you've mentioned a really comprehensive list of desires from Budget 2024. If I may follow up on a few of them, I'm curious to have you elaborate what you mean by independent SMEs. And I take it that you have brought up the issues of Malaysia's very grant-based approach when it comes to helping SMEs. But what do you mean by creating a generation of independent SMEs?
I think for a very long time, the way the government has come in to intervene in terms of supporting SMEs is really just provide cash handout to ensure in any way, right? We call it by various names, by various governments, but essentially it's just a grant to do 1,001 other things. In my mind, I'm not saying that we should straight away remove that completely, but we should transition from that direct grant to ensuring that the SMEs themselves take responsibility for their own growth. For example, if you talk about automation, instead of telling the SMEs, no, I'm going to give you X amount of money, you go and automate yourself. What we would rather want is that the companies define themselves what and how the automation is going to work, what is needed, what kind of funding is needed. They apply the loan themselves. Then the government can come in and say, okay, since we are doing this for you, we help you to get that financing. If you're not eligible for it, we'll provide the financing guarantee. And once you get the financing, we will help you with the interest rate by either waiving it, absorbing it, or halving the interest rate so that it's more affordable for the SMEs to come in. Now, that way, we ensure that the onus of growth goes back to the SME, and at the same time, you are training and building up independent SMEs.
Right, but you also mentioned matching grants to incentivize SMEs. Could you elaborate?
Again, a matching grant essentially means that the SMEs would also have to co-invest in whatever program that they're doing. Again, we take digitalization as an example. If the SME say they would like to embark on a certain program, say it costs 20,000 ringgit, so the expectation is that the SME should invest at least half of that, and then the government can come up with the funds for the other half. So instead of giving the money outright, we are pushing the SMEs to take ownership of their own growth, their own development.
Okay, and I want to come to the what will it take to move up the supply, the global supply chain. You talked about encouraging R&D and innovation, but when you think about the realities of it, what is it that SMEs really need? Is it reduced bureaucratic tape? Is it support in networking? What is it that SMEs need beyond the very lofty goals of investing in research and development?
Yeah, if there's anything that I've learned working with the many SMEs that we have, it's really that is the SMEs are generally very creative, as in it's very innovative. You give them something, they'll find their way through. So we should not worry so much about the market access. We should not worry so much about, telling them what to do. We just leave them to it. But what we really need to do is to change the mindset. I still remember 20, 30 years ago, we had then the long-serving Minister of Trade, Dato' Rafida Aziz, now Tan Sri, who has been talking about moving our SMEs away from OEM, right? Original Equipment Manufacturing, to ODM, Design Manufacturing, and OBM, or Original Brand Manufacturing. Because the idea is very simple. If we continue to be packaging for MNCs, if we continue to do a simple work, assembly, logistic, and so on, the margin is going to be very shallow, and we don't own the IP, we don't own anything, right? We're 100% depending on the MNC, so operating here. Now, but if you have to shift the mindset from just manufacturing to designing some of the components, and then selling back the same design back to the MNC, and eventually to own the brands ourselves. Now, that to me is how we actually value add. And that's what I mean by moving up the value chain. Now, for that to happen, we really need to change the mindset of the SME to say that, look, OEM is easy because you go to an MNC, you manage to get a contract, and then it could be worth X amount, very little work to be done because the specs are all given to you, just manufacture. But the harder things to do is really to develop your own design and your own brand. So it calls for the change of mindset among the SMEs, and that is what we want to encourage.
Well, there was also talk, William, about the progressive wage policy, the details of which is expected to be announced in Budget 2024. What are you expecting? How would SMEs respond to what will be tabled? What are your expectations around the progressive wage policy?
A lot of our own members are actually quite against the idea of being forced to deliver a certain amount of wages unless it is tied to productivity. Now, personally, I have a slightly different thought. I think it is it's time, and it is an open secret that our wages are just way too low. So there's no ifs and buts about it. I think progressive wage model is and can be a good model, but there's a huge if for that. And that is, if the government is insistent of introducing the PWM, there must be subsidy between what the government expects us to be paying as well as what we're currently paying. The government must come in. And our suggestion really is that it's tiered like our neighboring country does over 3 years. So the first year you provide 75%, subsidy of the difference, and then you tear down to 50% and 25%. The reason for that is because the moment you increase, would have to see the productivity goes up. And if that doesn't happen, prices adjusted. But if you face it in over 3 years, 5 years period, and you provide subsidy to support that, not only are you encouraging SMEs to adopt PWM, but more importantly, you're also giving room for the industry to absorb the increased cost and not necessarily pass everything back to the consumer.
Right, so sorry, if I may clarify, you are hoping for the progressive wage model to be implemented over a space of 3 years. Is that accurate?
No, what I'm saying is that we are supportive of progressive wage model, but we want the government to intervene by providing financial support, subsidies over a fixed certain period of time.
Understood. William, thank you so much for being on the show with me today. I appreciate your time. That was Dato' William Ng, Chairperson of the SMEs Association of Malaysia, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.